And it's with the stupa that we're concerned this evening. Now, we're not concerned with the stupa in general. That is a very vast subject into which we can't enter now. We're concerned specifically with the tantric symbolism of the stupa. Now, when we speak of the tantric symbolism of the stupa, it suggests that there's a non-tantric symbolism of the stupa, that the stupa, at least in some of its forms, contains symbolic elements which are not of tantric provenance. And this is in fact the case. The stupa which originated from these great mounds of earth heaped up over the relics of the Buddha, the stupa has a history throughout Asia, conterminous with the history of Buddhism itself. Wherever Buddhism went, there went the stupa. One might even say that the stupa is the most important and the most ubiquitous of all Buddhist architectural forms. Usually when we think of Buddhist art and Buddhist architecture, the first thing that we think of is the Buddha image. That seems most characteristic, most representative. But this is not, in fact, the case. The stupa is even more ancient than the Buddha image, even more characteristic of Buddhism than the Buddha image. The Buddha image we know did not come into existence in India until several centuries after the Parinirvana. There was a period of several hundred years during which there was no such thing as the Buddha image, no cult of images, no veneration of images, no keeping of images or installation of images of the Buddha. In fact, we may say there was among the early Buddhists a general feeling almost against images of the Buddha, against representations of the Buddha in this way. There was a general feeling that the Buddha, Buddhahood, could not be represented by any image. They thought, as it were, they felt, as it were, what is the Buddha? The Buddha is an enlightened being, one who has realized the truth, reality, the ultimate, the absolute. He is the embodiment of that. And how is that to be represented? How can that be conveyed? How can that feeling, how can that experience be conveyed? Just by a representation of a human physical body. The Buddha is far above that. In his inner essence, he's something transcendental, something ineffable, something which cannot be represented in any way, in any earthly, in any material medium. The Buddha is beyond all that. He transcends all that. So how can there be, how should there be, an image of the Buddha? They remembered, moreover, that the Buddha had said, even during his lifetime, that people could not see him, could not truly understand him or fathom him, inasmuch as his nature was so deep, so vast, so incommensurable, and that even and that after death it would be more difficult still to fathom him. So in this way, for such reasons as these, for several hundred years after the Parinirvana of the Buddha, there was no representation of the Buddha in art. There was no Buddha image at all. But the stupa came into existence, we may say, within days after the Parinirvana, certainly within a week. Or we can even say that the stupa was already in existence even before the Parinirvana, even before the time of the Buddha. Because even before the time of the Buddha in India, in ancient India, it was the custom that when a great man died, when a great king died, when a Mahapurusha died, great mounds of earth would be heaped up over his remains. And we know, in fact, that this was the general custom in many parts of the world throughout what we may describe as the heroic age. We find this custom among the ancient Greeks, that of erecting a great mound of earth over the remains of some hero. We find it even among the ancient Britons. We find these heaps of earth heaped over the remains of the dead in the form of what we call barrows, which are found in many, many parts of England, long barrows and round barrows. The word barrow incidentally meaning mountain or hill or mount, a word akin to the Germanic and Danish berg, and akin also incidentally to the Sanskrit brihant, which means high. And it was, in fact, because it was an existing custom, because it was a custom to show honour to the memory of dead kings in this way, by heaping up mounds of earth over their physical bodies after their death. It was because of this that the Buddha's followers erected stupas over the remains of the Buddha. In other words, their feeling was to treat the Buddha after his death as though he'd been a great king. In fact, they felt a king he was, not an earthly king, but the king of a spiritual world, a spiritual domain, a king of truth, or Dharmaraja, Dharmaraja being one of the Buddha's titles.